Spring has sprung in the Triad, and the sharp team with Highlands Mortgage is springing into action to help you buy a new home. With the housing market heating up, the best time to act is now to get into a house by the summer. If you've been waiting to move or have questions about buying a home, you can rely upon the sharp team to listen to your concerns, work proactively with you to find a loan that is right for you, and will take the very best care of you. Call the Sharp team today or just Google their website. When you're grilling on your new back patio or sipping tea on the front porch, you'll be very happy that you did.
Get started with an email to our friend Ashley McKenzie Sharp, ashley@sharploans.com, A-S-H-L-E-Y at sharp, S-H-A-R-P-E, loans.com, ashley@sharploans.com.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.
A fellowship beyond the game. Established in 2020 in the Triad, that's the mantra of the Twilight Golf Club. An organization founded by Stephen Edwards and others, the idea was to create a vessel to encourage more people to try the game of golf, but to also group existing golfers together in an environment that fosters friendship, competition, and development. Do this at the height of COVID, and the league's growth has been astronomical. In 2022 alone, Twilight Golf Club neared 200 members, held 16 major events, featured two hole-in-ones, saw 33 inter-club members, 575 summer league matches, and raised $6,800 in donations to other organizations committed to equitable access to the game of golf. TGC has unexpectedly transformed into something much larger than golf, community building and bringing people together. As you'll learn in this origin story, its mission goes well beyond swinging a club. I'm Kyle Schatzberger, and this is Stephen Edwards, founder of the Twilight Golf Club, on Triad Sports One-on-One.
So how many rounds, Stephen? How many are you getting in per week this time of the year?
Well, definitely picking up with June starting tomorrow and Twilight Golf Club kicking off. But I try and get out as much as I can. I have two young kids at home, which is one of the great things about Twilight Golf Club is you can kind of play when you can. So a lot of times I'm out at Reynolds Park at like 7:30 at night, walking nine holes in an hour or so with some other members who are motivated as well after bedtime. So yeah, maybe a few times a month, four times a month in summer.
I think this could be the main differentiator between each of our golf games. How many golf clubs have you broken this calendar year?
Mine rounds to zero. I don't know about yours rounds to, Kyle, but mine rounds to zero.
Yeah, I had a bad day recently. On assignment, calling SEC tournament games at Hoover Country Club in Alabama. Maybe the most difficult course I've ever played, no joke. But it was not intentional. It came on the 18th hole, club head of my driver, snapped off the shaft. Really just so emblematic of my round, too, really. Current golfers know this already, though, Stephen. New golfers or ones thinking about picking up a club should know. This game is frustrating and agitating. And if you're like me, who is so detail and process oriented while, you know, maintaining a positive attitude towards everything in life as an internal optimist, you're going to be tested and challenged in ways you haven't before, because there's nothing quite like the slice of humble pie I'm fed every time I tee it up.
That's exactly right. And I don't know if using the word slice was intentional or not, but many times the ball for a right-hander moving left to right is the largest serving of humble pie that you can imagine. And my guess would be if I've done my research, you may have been breaking a club, whether on accident or purpose, because you were down in a match to the great Phil Brain, who's quite the golfer and has been involved with some Twilight stuff over the years. So shout out, Phil. I know you guys get to work together a little bit on some broadcast stuff. So hopefully you weren't too far down in your match.
He made me walk, and I'm not a walker on the course. He and one of the other individuals we were playing with both walked. I joined in the 7,000-yard journey, and I'd like to think I'm in somewhat good shape, but not walking shape. Oof. So while Phil is making me feel so insignificant and hapless with his play, it can be sort of demoralizing, but it's all about perspective. So when you insert yourself in a group where their play is more superior than yours, oftentimes it can help elevate your game. Pair that with your own competitive juices, and then, yeah, the frustration, the agitation that can seep in, the mind games that golf plays with you. Isn't that what makes this game so addicting once you pick up a club for the first time?
Yeah, I mean, I took up golf as an adult. So for me, I went to Wake Forest. Phil and I were actually in the same class at Wake Forest. And for me, it was the summer before my senior year. Had some buddies. We lived off Polo Road. We were working jobs, just kind of wanting to live in, a summer in Winston-Salem and enjoy it before we graduated. And one of the guys in our house had played golf. And so a group of us started going out and walking 9 holes at Reynolds Park in the evening after work. And I was hooked. You know, I had grown up playing baseball and basketball and still was playing some pickup basketball at that point, but no pickup baseball of note, kind of hard to do. And, you know, golf for me was this thing that instantly, just like you said, it just hooks you. I mean, it just grabs you because the instant feedback of good shot versus bad shot is so obvious. And particularly if you're motivated by, you know, wanting to improve, the best in the world can see pretty intense swings in their own performance week to week. I don't know that there's another sport that's exactly like that, which I think is really special. But honestly, the thing for me from that point in time is the ability to walk down a fairway with some friends and have that time to be able to connect and unwind from, you know, at the time it was what I thought was a long day at 22 years old. But now, you know, in my mid to late 30s, it's with the family, with work, the ability to have that community that's shared around the game of golf is what makes it really special. Of course, I want to be better, but I can't tell you the last time I went to the driving range and, you know, practiced. If I have the opportunity to get out, it's like, man, you know, who can I reach out to? Who can I play with? Where are we going? And just that community element, the ability to do it together is what makes golf really special, because you can also do it, like you said. You could go play golf with someone who's 30 shots better than you and have a great time. Whereas if you go play the basketball equivalent or the baseball equivalent of someone 30 shots better than you, no one's going to have very much fun.
No, no. And many of these benefits and elements that you're speaking of, the community, the fellowship, we'll get into that with what the Twilight Golf Club was, you know, geared towards and how it came to be. One more question, though, about how the Twilight Golf Club was formed in 2020. Before we get there, you touched on your enthusiasm for the game and how it was built and where it came from. Just golfing buddies, right? Going to Wake Forest and going out, and it just took off from there. I think everybody has a unique origin story of how they, you know, got into this sport or that sport or this hobby or whatever it may be. But for you, it was extremely personable because it was you and the people that you were closest with, and you just casually picked up a club and you played regularly out at Reynolds Park.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think the more that you meet people, everybody has some story of a role that golf played, whether it was, you know, a parent or a grandparent or a loved one putting a club in their hand at an early age and taking it up from a young age. Like, that's a big part of their story and helps them really connect to others, whether it's friends, you know, coworkers, it's someone who maybe is going through a rough season with work or something personal and is using it as an outlet to, you know, go practice or learn a new hobby. Like, I think golf in that way provides a really interesting inroad for, just like an outlet. I mean, it's a hobby and it doesn't have to be taken serious. Many people take it too serious, but it can be something, you know, that people compete and really find a lot of competitive drive there, but also something that just allows you to, you know, decompress, connect with others, and be with people you care about. And so that's what it is for me. That's what I love about it.
When you left the Triad and you went to Texas, you worked at SMU, you and your wife, Mackenzie, were down there. Did you feel like you had to pick up a club even more, though? Because everybody was golfing in Texas.
Yeah, so one of the things having grown up in Asheville, one of the things going to Wake Forest I don't think I fully appreciated is how beautiful North Carolina was, because I moved from one beautiful place to another beautiful place. And then all of a sudden I moved to Dallas, Texas, and I thought, man, there's a lot of concrete here. And especially I lived in the heart of the city near downtown. And, you know, there were parks and a couple greenways here or there, but Dallas actually has a really great network of municipal golf courses. I want to say they have a half dozen or so, some of which, including Cedar Crest, which was my favorite at the time, hosted the PGA Championship like back in the 20s. And, you know, we'd go, I'll never forget the first time I went with a buddy. It was like August. It was like 102 degrees. We show up at, I don't know, noon. And the starter says, you know, you guys got some water? You got some sunscreen? Like, the golf course is empty. And we're like, no, we're good. We're just going to take off and just go on our walk and enjoy our $12 round or whatever at the municipal golf course. And so for me, you're exactly right. Moving to Dallas, pretty much everybody plays golf in some capacity, whether it's for, you know, hobby, competitive drive, whether it's for work reasons. It's a big golf community. And so pretty quickly I was like, okay, I kind of tinkered on this for a little bit. I really wanted to get into it. And so started playing more regularly and more serious. And Dallas provided a good opportunity in that it does have some pretty good public golf courses amongst a city that otherwise is very flat and not super green. So that was the time, spending time in Dallas. It was loving the outdoors, loving nature, having grown up in North Carolina. Was pretty quick to say, you know, get me on a golf course. I want to be around some trees. I want to be around some green grass. The urban environment maybe is why I quickly moved back to North Carolina.
I want to take a quick break from this show to do two things. One, we'll say thank you for listening and supporting the Triad Podcast Network. Just listening to this episode is appreciated. Second, I want to ask that you support a local business that supports us as a presenting partner. A real estate company we trust, the Ginther Group, located in Winston-Salem. Right now, in the spring, the housing market is moving fast. You need someone you can rely on to assess your situation, read the data and trends, and steer you in the right direction. Interest rates, inventory, new construction, there are so many factors that impact our local market. Don't buy into the national internet headlines. Get the information from the folks right here in our neighborhood. Contact Blake Ginther and the Ginther Group today. Whether you're buying or selling, have cash or not, or if your home isn't in the ideal condition for selling, chances are they have a solution for you. Call 336-283-8689 or visit theginthergroup.com. Buying, selling, investing, or just learning, whatever you need, start now and, like me, you can become a Ginther Group client for life.
I love that. As a guy from Chicago and the greater Chicagoland area in the suburbs, you know, when I moved to North Carolina over 10 years ago, like I appreciated almost immediately, you know, how green and how beautiful North Carolina was and all of its golf courses. And to think somebody from here, you're not the only one, you know, you didn't appreciate it. I think that's something we all fall victim to, no matter where we're from or what we're coming from. And then when we move elsewhere, you know, it's what you once had that you realize when you leave it. How great it actually was. So to come back, I'm sure that's even more fulfilling and satisfying at this moment in your life. So take me back to 2020. Let's get into TGC. How can anyone forget that time in our lives? All of a sudden, things for everyone come to a screeching halt because of the coronavirus. And like me and many others, I'm sure you had been embracing your time on the course as an escape, which we've talked about, you hit on, kind of channeling your competitive juices. Having that time away from the real world, if you will, to be in touch with yourself, but also bring out your toddler. You're bringing out 3-year-old Griffin at the time. My daughter, I believe, was about 4, so maybe 1 year difference. I'm doing the same thing, you know, with little Pudge, and they like to ride in the car, maybe hit a ball here or there, and you're doing that. But COVID changed everything because it was about the only thing you could do then at that time when restrictions were as high as they were. So this help birth an idea for you to grow the game in a way that, and I think little did you know at that time just how much the game would be growing, but it would be fueled by the global restrictions that were being placed on society and what led to Twilight Golf Club.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'd be lying if I said that I had a plan. It literally was as simple as a response, I think, for my own mental health and, you know, wanting to spend some time with my son, Griffin. So that summer 2020, Griffin turned 4. At the end of June. And so I was working from home, as many people were, felt very fortunate, obviously, to be able to do that and to be able to maintain my job. I don't take that for granted. But we had also just had, Griffin had just had a little sister and, was not really equipped from a work from home environment or both kids in the house. And so many days around, you know, end of day, I'd say to my wife, it's like, Griffin and I are getting out of here. Like, we're going to go to the golf course. We're going to go do something. We got to get out of the house. And so you start going to the golf course a lot. Like that summer 2020, I mean, we would go up, we'd putt, we'd ride around, we'd walk a couple holes. Because you're exactly right. There was nothing else you could do. I mean, what other hobbies or interests you had? It was takeout and golf, right? Where people were getting takeout food and they were playing golf. And so that also started where a group of buddies who were in a similar boat, we just started going up once or twice a week in the evenings to Reynolds Park after our young kids. We'd kind of, you know, help get them put to bed. And then we'd go over to Reynolds Park and to at like 7 o'clock and, you know, pay our, you know, $12 or whatever and walk as many holes as we could until it'd get dark at, you know, 8:45, 9 o'clock. And that was that. I mean, it was just like, and it just grew from there. More friends would want to go. And it wasn't with the intention to start anything. And then, you know, having worked in fundraising at Wake Forest before, you know, doing what I do now for work, the Harold Varner III Foundation had announced that they were, you know, becoming an entity, a 501c3 not-for-profit, and they were launching at the Wyndham Championship. So when the Wyndham announced that they weren't going to have any fans, I think my experience having been a fundraiser and, you know, someone who'd started different organizations said, that's not super great. You know, you've got this big launch at this tournament. They probably were expecting, you know, some proceeds of ticket sales, some good exposure, some ability to do clinics and other events. And so I just literally looked on their website, saw the contact listed, reached out and said, hey, I don't know how I could help, but I love your mission of wanting to, you know, provide equitable access to golf for youth in our state. If I could pull together a group of people to kind of play golf during the week of the Wyndham, would you guys like be willing to, you know, maybe send me some swag or whatever? I mean, it was like literally the most bare bones thing you could imagine. And what ended up happening from that was a really cool partnership where the governor at the time in North Carolina said you could have 50 people at an outdoor event. And so I called Reynolds Park and I said, you know, hey, if I give you $500, can I rent out, you know, 9 holes of the golf course that night? And they were like, sure, good luck. And so I thought in my mind, if I could get 50 people there, the math made sense. We could charge, you know, $30 a person, include golf and whatever we had over the top, we would just donate to the foundation. And so we had 50 people there, and it was really fun. And it was a 9-hole walking event. And that, in my mind at that point, Kyle, like that was it. It was just like, well, COVID's going to go away. Everyone's going to kind of go back to their normal lives. This was a really fun opportunity. Can't wait till next year when everybody gets to go to the Wyndham and get back to the regular rhythms. And as we know, that didn't happen. And so that was kind of the origin story before it was even Twilight Golf Club. It was just me kind of personally saying, yeah, I want to be with friends. I miss seeing people. I miss seeing people around community. Okay, golf provides the, you know, governor sanctioned vehicle in which you can do that. And that was kind of the origin story. Nothing more than just a simple idea and a connection. And obviously since then it's crazy story, but that's the start.
I love the connection with Harold Varner III for those first couple of years and what he symbolizes for this community, certainly locally, a guy who grew up in Gastonia from North Carolina, played his collegiate golf at ECU before ultimately turning pro. And the fact that HV3 and his foundation, it's such that it champions, you know, growing the game through youth programs, raising public awareness. His foundation works so closely with Carolina's Golf Association, which you have a connection now to with Twilight Golf Club and the National Youth on Course, which provides financial assistance in so many areas like equipment, after school programs, and other areas in which a young golfer can cultivate their passion. So at that time, that marriage, although, you know, again, this wasn't your plan, this kind of just, it blossomed, it came to be, it germinated from nothing, to align yourself with such a foundation and do the work that you were able to in raising the money with your fundraising efforts. I mean, this was a perfect marriage, really, to help springboard not just what would become Twilight Golf Club, but to the greater good, the communal aspect of what this represented.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the next year, so that was 2020, you know, we kind of went into winter. And when we came out of winter, really, again, just a response, we had a lot of people who'd come to that Twilight Golf Club event, which we call the Twilight Open. We've done it 3 years now. We'll do another one this August. It's August 1st at Reynolds Park. It's a public event. It's very accessible, very affordable, kind of a grassroots fundraiser. You think of most traditional charity events, expensive scrambles during the week, during a work day. You know, you got to secure childcare or get time off work. And ours is intentionally in the evening. you know, you can bring kids, you can bring significant others. We have food truck, we have local breweries that sponsor, we've got music playing, contests, and there's no winner. You know, it's like, it's intended to be kind of a community moment to raise funds for, you know, Youth on Course and First Tee and historically HV3's foundation, which does incredible work. So all that being said, going into 2021, COVID was still around. And so the restrictions weren't the same, but people were playing golf like they had never before. And so honestly, myself and then two of my close friends, Ben Lambeth and Daniel LeBaron, who were some of the guys I'd been playing with early on, we just had a bunch of friends that said, hey, we would love to do more golf community-based stuff. And so we did our first big tournament. We had 36 guys go play 36 holes at Pine Needles down in Southern Pines, which hosted the U.S. Women's Open last year, and got a chance to preview that golf course through the CGA. They helped us get a great deal. I will say it was late February. I think the temperature when we teed off was like 35 degrees. So I think the course was happy to have us there. We were very happy to be there too, but there wasn't anybody else really crazy enough to try and play 36 holes when it was 36 degrees. And then from there, it was literally as simple as we had 36 guys. Those 36 guys come summertime said, are we going to keep doing this? Like, we got to keep playing. And so we started a summer league out at Reynolds Park. And the way our summer league works, which now has grown to have locations in Raleigh and Charlotte as well, is very intentionally focused on being flexible. So we always have weeknight meetups. Like last night, we're doing this on, you know, the 31st, which is a Wednesday. Last night, Tuesday, there were 20 some guys out at Reynolds Park. But there are 100 guys who participate in Twilight Golf Club in Winston-Salem alone. But the way that we run our summer league is, you know, Kyle, if you and I played on a random Thursday morning, it can be a match. Doesn't have to be Tuesday evening. Doesn't have to be at a certain course. It's intended to be about meeting other people, about, you know, being able to compete and play golf, but not about like you got to be somewhere every single week at 5:30. And if something pops up with, you know, home life or work life, or, you know, you got to travel or whatever that you like miss, or you let somebody else down. So that's how we do it. But we always try and have kind of that entry road point, at least in Winston-Salem, we do it at Reynolds Park, that, you know, new guys, guys who do want that regular routine or rhythm, it's like, it's there, it's available. But you're not letting anybody down. Even if at 5 o'clock, you're like driving on the way there and you get a flat tire, it's like, they'll figure it out. They'll play with somebody else. And so I think that's fun, but it's also non-traditional in just how leagues, like adult sports leagues run, in that it's intended to be really flexible. So that's what we started doing in 2021. And we had that summer league. We had close to 50 guys participate in Winston-Salem. And we culminated that with the second annual Twilight Open fundraiser for the HV3 Foundation, and ended up having about 80 or 90 people at the second version. Instead of raising, you know, $1,000, I think we raised $3,000, and just continued to have that partnership there. But again, even through the second year, it was literally just me, you know, outside of my day job, outside of, you know, trying to be as present of a parent and husband as I can, was an opportunity to just say, hey, if people are looking for this and golf is a great vehicle for community and connection, let's do it. Like, I love doing this kind of stuff. But it wasn't ever, at this point in time, becoming an official golf club was not even, that's a funny story, which I'm happy to share, but it wasn't even on my radar.
Let's pause just to give any listeners the opportunity to jot down the best way to get in touch with you, and then we'll pick back up the conversation since we're creating this entry point for anybody that might be willing to try out, you know, Twilight Golf Club. How can they get more information? What is the best way? Is it email? Is it Instagram? Is it Twitter? I know you're on each of those. You can even find them on Facebook, but go to Instagram and Twitter at Twilight Golf NC is the handle there, but twilightgolfclub.org is also the website.
Yeah, website's a great place because it kind of shares our origin story and has some great embedded links to Carolina Golf Association and the USGA and different member perks that you get through those organizations by becoming a member with us. And we're intentional about, like, we want it to be as accessible as possible. You know, golf is a great sport. Golf is also not at always the most accessible sport and can be very expensive. And so a Twilight Golf Club annual membership is $50. That's all it costs. We don't do monthly dues. You know, when you go to the golf course, we work with golf courses through our membership to get good deals. and to have good access at times, even to private clubs where we do a lot of our events. But you're not going to have a monthly due. It's kind of pay as you go. We have some guys in the club who probably play golf 2-3 times a week, and some guys who play 2-3 times a summer, and that's fine. They're members in the same. It's not tiered in any sort of way. And so twilightgolfclub.org is the best place to start, because it's got information there, and then it has a join now form. The only thing we want is somebody to either know someone within the club to join. That's, we call that kind of our vibe check, you know, to, so, you know.
Yeah.
No offense, Kyle, but you'd have to cool it on the club breaking.
are you going to make it difficult for me to join? Really? Like, I'm talking to the founder. You got to vet me.
We'll vet you, but you know, okay. we'll have a side conversation and just say, you know what? Hey, we're doing this for the kids, so we got to be good models for the kids. We can't be tomahawking a 5-iron down the fairway.
Look, I can't help it that my velo, my swing speed is upwards of 115, 120 miles per hour. Okay. Like, this is Bryson DeChambeau at his finest. How many members now as we're here in 2023, from where we began to where we are now?
Yep. So at present, across the state of North Carolina, with, like I mentioned, kind of three main populous areas.
Charlotte and Raleigh were the new chapters that had been birthed, correct?
Yeah, they started last year, which again was grassroots. We weren't like, we actually as a board, so I can kind of share some of that. I'll answer the question really quickly. So we have 181 members at present on our roster. Historical members, we probably have 220, 230 who have been members over the last couple of years. And like I said, all it means to be a member is, so about a year and a half ago, I actually reached out to the Carolina Golf Association, which, for those who don't know, is our state golf amateur association. They do an incredible job, run all of our high level amateur tournaments, help run things like pro tournament qualifiers at times, and then also run amateur programs up and down, regardless of skill level, age, gender. Like, they're incredible, and they're based in Southern Pines. So I reached out to a contact there and said, hey, we've got 50 some guys who are participating in our tournaments and in our summer league. And at the time, we had encouraged everybody to, you know, get a hand. They needed a handicap. But if they didn't have a handicap, they weren't going to get any shots if they weren't any good. So they should get a handicap. And you can get one through the Carolina Golf Association. So at some point I reached out and just said, hey, is there any chance I can just get a list of emails to just like better communicate with these people? Like, we know a lot of people, we've got a phone number, we know someone on social media. And they appropriately were like, no, we can't give you a list of emails. Like, and I was like, oh yeah, I didn't think about that. But they said, why don't you guys just become a USGA golf club? And me being, you know, not having grown up a golfer, only having started keeping a handicap in 2020, I was like, I don't even know what that means. And so they walked us through the process. They said, if you guys, you know, so any golf club, if you think of like in Winston-Salem area, if you think of Tanglewood Park or Reynolds Park or Old Town Club or Forsyth Country Club or Bermuda Run, those are all USGA member clubs, meaning they have a USGA rating, they're an official course, and people can keep their official handicap through them. They also are probably also a member club of the Carolina Golf Association. And they're what's considered a green grass golf club. Like, they have real estate, they actually have a golf course. Well, the USGA also runs this program, what they call type 2 clubs, which are member clubs. So people keep their handicap through them. You have a handicap chair, you have events, you have things like a summer league, you maybe have a championship, but you don't have real estate. Like, you don't actually have a golf course. So the Carolina Golf Association encouraged us to apply for that. So we applied through the CGA to USGA, became an official type 2 member club, which means that we're a member club just like Tanglewood, Bermuda Run, Oak Valley, and people keep their handicap through us. So if you look up my handicap, I'm not a member of some sort of e-club or something else. I'm a Twilight Golf Club member. That's my home club, in the same way someone would, it would say Old Town or Forsyth or Bermuda Run or wherever. And as a part of that membership, they're a USGA member. Each member of Twilight Golf Club is a USGA member, so has a USGA handicap, official handicap, and then also is a Carolina Golf Association member, and gets access to all their tournaments, all their different member perks, access to their events, and things like that. So that's been really rewarding, but is not something we sought out to do. But I think just speaks to the volume of the work that Carolina Golf Golf Association and their foundation does that when we reached out, they didn't just say, no, you can't have emails, see you later. They said, no, we can't give you emails. But if you guys became an official not-for-profit, we can walk you through how you would become a member club. And that's been, as you can imagine, once that was official, and we, you know, established a board and worked with a local law office to get those papers done and get sanctioned as a 501c7. So traditional not-for-profits, a 501c3. We operate as a 501c7, which means we're a not-for-profit member-based social club. And that's been really great. And as you can imagine, when you're $50 a year and it also gets you a handicap, if people aren't a member of a club and they want to meet other people and play golf, we're not doing any marketing. We're not actively soliciting new members. It's kind of word of mouth.
Quick break from the show to get serious for a moment. In my serious voice. For real though, it's time to get serious about your financial future. It's never too early, but it could be too late to get started. And that's oftentimes the hardest part, getting started. How much do I save? Where do I invest? Do I save for college or retirement? How much for each? And who do I talk to about it all? Okay, we'll keep things simple for now and help you answer the last one. We recommend you begin with a local financial advisor. And that's Jennifer Johnson of Three Magnolias Financial Advisors. She'll sit down with you for a complimentary introductory consultation and go over all of your questions. Get started on the path to achieving your financial goals. Visit 3magnoliasfinancialadvisors.com or call 336-701-1600. Get comfortable with your financial future. 3 Magnolias Financial Advisors, retirement, financial planning, and investments. Securities offered through Cetera Advisor Networks, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through 3 Magnolias Financial Advisors. 3 Magnolias Financial Advisors and Cetera Advisor Networks are not affiliated. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity.
That's incredible. I wonder what the return or the numbers are for these type 2 USGA member clubs, which again, no green grass, like no track, no real estate. You are a golf club without a golf course. Like that in and of itself is the most bizarre, but most amazing thing. I think anybody tied into this, certainly you in founding this organization, can be most proud of that you've done this. And I wonder how many of those exist around the country. Do you have any idea just how rare such a thing is? I mean, the fact that the USGA has created this entry point for folks like you or people that don't have a green grass, you know, course to utilize means it obviously happens, but I would have to think the percentages in relation to all the USGA member clubs around the entire country, it's got to be inside of 5 or even 3%.
Yeah, I don't know the exact number, but I know it's low because I've seen some of the lists just within our state. And, you know, I believe we were the first ever type 2 member club to participate in the Carolina Golf Association Interclub program, which is just a competition, you know, match play based program in between clubs. So in our pod last summer, we played against Bermuda Run, Tanglewood, Oak Valley, and Salem Glen. And then this year, it's all those same teams, but we also have Meadowlands. And so the way that we solve for that is you just have to have good relationships with people. And so Bob Faub, who's the director of the Golf Academy at Holly Ridge Golf Links in Archdale, I met him through some work that our club has done with youth golf and with youth on course and first tee, because Bob used to run the Tar Heel Youth Golf Tournament series in the summer. And, you know, we needed a place to host our club championship in 2021. We needed a place that could let us have, you know, 36 players for 36 holes. And Bob said, come to Holly Ridge. And we came to Holly Ridge, and that's ended up being a relationship now where they operate as our home course within the interclub program. So we do have to have a golf course. We may not own or operate it, but we work with places like Reynolds Park. The group in Raleigh plays at Lonnie Pool and Eagle Ridge. The group in Charlotte typically plays at Mooresville Golf Club or Charles T. Myers. And what we try and do is just like tell our story, make sure they know that we're a CGA member, make sure they know we're legit and a USGA member, and we try and respect the course, respect what they're doing. And then a lot of times the tee times we are getting are off schedule. So it's like a weeknight. A lot of our events end up being weekdays. And the whole point of that is to just say to them like, hey, we're not paying on behalf of the people coming, But if we can bring 36 golfers to you on a random Wednesday, what kind of a deal can you give us? Can you make it, you know, 36 holes and lunch for a little bit more than a typical greens fee? And, you know, some places say, no, we, you know, can't really process in our mind how we do that. But places like Holly Ridge and then Colonial Country Club in Thomasville has been great to work with. We just had a big championship event there a couple months back. And Rocky Brooks, their pro there, is incredible, used to be at Sedgefield. And there's a lot of people in golf who get it. They're just like, love what you're doing, love what you're doing to try and grow the game. And I mean, but a Colonial as an example, that's a private golf club. You can't just call up and make a tee time. And so the fact that they all of a sudden said, hey, we'd love to have you guys out. And they just rolled out the red carpet. I mean, it felt like we were at one of their club championships. There's a lot of good people in golf and a lot of people who see what we're doing and say, hey, we want to be involved in that. We want to be supportive because they also know what our mission is. Like, we don't operate as a for-profit entity. So they know the more events that we do, the more members that we have, the more kids that we can sponsor through First Tee and Youth on Course, which is the whole goal.
It's amazing. So Twilight Golf Club, it became a summer golf league, a fraternity of sorts, made up of golfers of all skill levels, some who understand and utilize the handicap index system, which you've touched on, others who didn't, but now may be, you know, more exposed or more well-versed in that department. But the main purpose is fellowship, which we've talked about. So with you not having a golf course per se, you know what the next thing is? You've got a slogan. You've got a logo. That slogan, by the way, it's more of a mantra. It's fellowship beyond the game, a fellowship beyond the game. We need merch. We need a pro shop. Like, are we operating out of your basement? Do we have a website? Like, where can I get my hat and my polo, my golf polo? I need it all.
Yeah. So it's a good question. As you might imagine, when this is something that a collection of us, I'd love to give a shout out to our board members because they work really hard on all the things I just mentioned. This is not just me. So I mentioned already, so Daniel LeBaron and Ben Lambeth were two of the guys who helped originally start the summer league out of Twilight Golf Club. Then Hayes Wofford operates as our treasurer, and Ryan Thomas operates as our kind of contact for the USGA. He's technically our USGA handicap chair. Had to take a big test. I think he got every question right. Not surprisingly, he caddies on the side down at Pinehurst. So if anybody listening to this is going on a Pinehurst trip, Ryan Thomas is your caddy. He's the one you want if you're trying to, you know, shoot a certain score on number two. Knows that place like the back of his hand. Smith Griswold operates as our CGA Interclub captain and has done a great job of that the last 2 years. To give a shout out to Smith. We clinched playoffs last year. Again, I think from everything we can tell, we're the first Type 2 member club to play an Interclub, and we made the playoffs and actually won in the first round, which is pretty cool. And then this year, we're already 4-1 to start the season. Not surprisingly, I haven't played in a match. That's probably why they're 4-1. And they have one more to go, but I think they've already quenched their pod. And then Jeremy Dudley is a new board member this year and helps oversee a lot of our work within our summer leagues. And to the point of merch, Jeremy's going to end up being the merch czar. We've already had a great partnership. There's a startup golf brand in Charlotte called Loop Active that a guy named William Morris within Twilight Golf Club member started. And we have our first run of about 50 polos that comes in a couple weeks. And then I should be wearing it, but we had a run of about 50 Imperial hats with our Twilight Golf Club. We did some black and some white hats. And so we're working on it, but also as you might imagine, the rest of us have, like, you know, stuff to do, Kyle. And my desire to, like, have a bunch of boxes of shirts I'm trying to sell in my basement is not super high.
You mean you have a real job, Steven? Come on.
Yeah.
This is your job. No. Brag on yourself. I mean, what is it you do? What takes up most of your time from an actual work standpoint? You can share.
Yeah. So I work in wealth management. I've done that after working in fundraising at Wake Forest for a number of years. I've worked at Baird here in Winston-Salem the last 6 years, and I'm on a great team here. And then also have a wonderful wife, Mackenzie, who really is the main support behind a lot of this, as you might imagine, when I'm like running two things at the same time. And then you've mentioned Griffin, he turned 7 in June. And he's the main reason that I do a lot of this, because he just loves golf, and the experience to get to do golf with him and see it through his eyes, and, you know, get to coach. I coached first tee last year at Winston Lake. The new first tee director, Ryan Wilson, has become a good friend, and he's really, you know, just totally reinfusing energy into the Winston Lake program that had lost it with COVID and them not being able to have programming. And then our daughter Rose, 3 and a half, has a little pink putter, and she loves to get out there and boss everybody around on the putting green. She's got good distance control. She has very poor putter inside 2 feet. Just can't figure it out just yet. But that's the crew kind of behind it. And yeah, it's a team effort. It's certainly, I'm honored to be asked to share the story, but it's not my story. It's a story of, you know, hundreds of people who've been involved and participated in events, and the work that we get to do to support, you know, the way we phrase it is, we want to be a part of supporting equitable access to golf. So not just access, right? But equitable access, meaning like the programs, the quality of golf courses, the quality of training, coaching, you know, actual like clubs. And that's a lot of what First Tee and Youth on Course are doing, is trying to provide that, not just access, not just opportunity, but equitable access to those who are underserved around our state. So that's what we're excited about helping out with.
Philanthropy. As we wind this conversation down, Stephen, take a step back. How do you begin to measure the growth, the success of Twilight Golf Club? How it's exceeded expectations immensely from what the initial thought was over 3 years ago?
Yeah, I think if I answered that question, it would probably be with just like the guiding principle of how I try and live my life, which is just like, don't overlook the small opportunities to just like do something for someone and connect with someone and learn their story and understand what they care about, and then find opportunities to use your gifts and your talents and your abilities to do that for them. And everybody has their own. So for me, like, I'm naturally someone who loves others, love connecting ideas, love connecting people. And so the more that this happens, the more that Twilight Golf Club exists, I just get more and more excited about the people I, you know, haven't met yet, meeting the people I do know, and then being able to connect, whether it's personally. You know, one of the things that's really cool about Twilight Golf Club is if I looked at the group of people who were out at, you know, Reynolds Park last night, some of them have met before Twilight Golf Club. Some of them met through Twilight Golf Club. Some of them met last night. And then the next thing you know, you walk 9 holes for 2 hours and you have conversations, you get to know people's story, you become friends. Maybe you end up doing something, you know, beyond just your friendship in terms of, you know, work or community or whatever it is. So our opportunity with Twilight Golf Club to create those connections is really special. But also, you know, I'll give another example. You know, Winston-Salem State brought back their golf team out of COVID, and their newish, he's a couple years now, coach Charles Penny has become a friend and is a Twilight Golf Club member. So the opportunity for members to spend time with Winston-Salem State's young men on their golf program, exceptional. We did a really cool service day at the First Tee facility at Winston Lake with their team on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Unbelievably special. I mean, those young men are going to do really big things. You know, one of their players who we've gotten to spend some time with, and our golf club has also supported financially their program, was a First Tee. I think the program's called the Future Ambassadors or Future Entrepreneurs, but he got to play in the Pro-Am at the Wells Fargo in Quail Hollow with Rory McIlroy. Wow. And his name is Ahmad, and Ahmad's incredible. He's amazing young man from Chicago, actually, Kyle, and okay. Really, really neat young man. And so the opportunity to connect members and their families who can also use their own philanthropy, their own desire to be engaged. You know, we have members who are coaches for the First Tee and didn't even really know about the First Tee before their interaction, and now they're helping coach. We have members who've heard what's going on with Winston-Salem State and have hosted the players for practice rounds at their golf course. You know, one of our members is a member at Maple Chase, and Maple Chase has been an amazing support of us. And Winston-Salem State now has the ability to practice and play out at Maple Chase thanks to their pro, Brad Lubchow, and their team there. So it's just, I could tell stories for hours of just all the different ways. And I want to be clear, I've left out hundreds of names and hundreds of stories of people who just like say, that's different. I want to be a part of that. And the question we actually get the most is like, oh, come on, like what's hidden? Like what's the real game here? It's like, this is it. Like, it's a service to our community. We really enjoy it. And the board works so hard to make all of it happen. And it's a real joy.
And to your point, the growth of a network, you've been able to connect with so many cool people. So many doors have opened, as you've outlined. And that's the thing with golf. Those new to the game might associate a negative stigma, calling it a country club sport, or excluding themselves immediately because of skill level and being fearful of picking up something new. But what your organization has done, it's outstanding. Much more than hitting a little white ball, Stephen. It's the fellowship, the communal aspect, the good that it brings to other organizations and fueling their purpose and opening doors for others. It's terrific stuff, man. You've been extremely gracious with your time. Anything else we haven't covered? I'm glad we carved out as much time as we have.
Yeah, it was really great. Thank you for having me. Yeah, I mean, to your point, you're going to be pretty hard pressed in most communities. If you go to your local city golf course, you're going to be pretty hard pressed in our communities to find a cross section that's more representative of our communities than at a local public golf course. And that's special, right? That gives us a vehicle to really have good conversations around difference, to be able to meet people who aren't like us. You know, I have a daughter, so I got to say, we got to continue to work on growing, opportunities for females in the game. That cross-section isn't always represented. But if you talk socioeconomic, if you talk racial diversity, age, location, people live around the city. If you go to Reynolds Park on any given Saturday, there's college kids, there's people from, bordering counties, there's people from different zip codes. And that's a really neat thing. And so as communities, we've got to embrace that. And so Twilight Golf Club, I think the future for us is we want to lean more into that space of helping, the grassroots group in Raleigh or the grassroots group in Charlotte, or, we've had people in Asheville who've reached out and said, we want to be really involved. We want to try and help them not just, connect with one another, be able to give back along the way through their dues and through participating in events. And I was doing some of the numbers. I think we've given over $15,000 in the last 2.5 years to different partner organizations. But we also want to provide opportunities where they can use their passions and their talents to really deeply involve themselves in their community and use golf as the vehicle for community change in a way it historically has not been. But I would say, as I look forward with golf, I think it's an enormous opportunity. And I want us to help take the reins on that.
It's an amazing thing. Your idea, the collective effort afterward. Let's get a bunch of people together. 50 at most, as the governor would allow during the height of COVID. And boom, more than 3 years later, we're pushing 200 members for a golf club that has no real track and is even filling small orders of merch. Go to twilightgolfclub.org, at @TwilightGolfNC on Twitter and Instagram, and Twilight Golf Club on Facebook. Stephen, it's been real, man. I'm happy you came on today to share the story of Twilight Golf Club.
Let's go play soon.
A true champion of local golf, founder and president of the Twilight Golf Club, Stephen Edwards, is truly making a difference. I'm Kyle Schassberger on Twitter and Instagram at Kyle Schass. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Stephen. Until next time, and hopefully it's after I've obtained, tested, and put to good use a new driver against Stephen on the course. This has been Triad Sports One-on-One.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode on the Triad Podcast Network. Our mission is simple: provide information, advice, and stories about the people and places that make the North Carolina Triad such a great place to be. You can find us by searching Triad Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much wherever you like to listen. If you like what you heard and want to support the show and those that contribute, we would truly appreciate a rating and review on your favorite podcast app. It helps spread the word along, as do your shares on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Triad Podcast. To get in touch with us, simply email info@triadpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.